everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hello once again and welcome to the Spirit Book Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Nick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through mixed deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth of the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing many questions that our listeners have sent in. And if you'd like to join us with a question of your own, then we'd love to hear from you. Or maybe you'd like to join in the conversation that we're having. It's not a reading type of situation, but really basically we discuss anything to do with the physical world or metaphysical world, to do with our world, other worlds, your spirituality. But you'll get the hang of it, but it's not actually a personal reading. We're not going to sort of tell you anything to do with your specific personal life, okay? But your thoughts on anything to do with anything spiritual or metaphysical, please do join us. And it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that call isn't free, okay?
Well, hi, everyone. As well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading or any of the other readings that we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also like on www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay. I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. I have to do that right now so we can all get on with the show. And without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain a little more.
Absolutely. Okay, if there's anything here before you go off, Mick, that you need to fix, can you do it? Because
yes, sure.
I'm not very geeky, so I'm just doing something with the recording equipment here. Actually, Mick mentioned our Akashic readings, and although I said earlier on that on the show it's not a situation of giving you a reading on the program, but you can have a reading, a personal reading with Gregory. He does Akashic readings, which are really quite fascinating and unique to the style that he does it in anyway. So you would have a personal one-to-one with Gregory, who will be Mick in trance. And this is something that you can do. You can find out more about that on our website. And you can have a digitally recorded CD as well to keep forever, basically. And it will help you with all sorts of things to do with the nature of your spiritual development and your actually marrying that up with your personal life, material life as well, obviously, because they both have to actually intertwine each other and benefit each other. So, and also you'll find out about your gifts of spirit and who your guides are and what soul group you're from and really wonderful things. So, you can find out about that on our www.spirit-teaching.com website, and you can then get in touch with me. I can let you know anything else you want to know about that as well. And Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are a group that consists of scientific minds of many descriptions, and along with ordinary people as well, actually. So they're an educational team that have come to give us access to as much information that we need to know, so that we may move toward a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, hopefully. And in the understanding of the nature of our existence, will help us to maybe save our world from a negative spiral that seems to go on and on forever, doesn't it? So we try to get positive, we try to get answers, and when Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there's no room for errors, because it's not Mick interpreting the messages that come through, it's actually a complete another entity speaking to you via Mick's body, via the spirit world, and also obviously communicating with this huge team of experts that he has on hand, so that he can answer all of our questions. And so I'd just like to say that we're also on Second Life in a few hours' time at 1 o'clock PST at the Mystic Academy in the New Oracle Temple, where you can have another chance to interact with us and Gregory there if you would like to. So look forward to that, and we look forward to the show. You can, like I say, phone in any time, and we'd love to hear from you. Meanwhile, Gregory's with us.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathways, my dear friends.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, friend. Hello.
Well, I've got a little note here that said that we must start the show today with Roseanne's questions on DNA. And this is what these shows lately have been, our listeners' questions, which is something that I forgot to mention. If you've got any questions that you would rather send in by email, then I can ask them on the show on your behalf. So if you've got a lot of them, then it's probably a good way to do it. Or, like I say, you can phone in. Okay, right, now I'm ready. So, Roseanne, she had questions on DNA, and we actually started doing this last week, but we left it a bit late, didn't we?
Yes, I understand.
So I'm not sure whether you want to, or whether you want to start here. We were talking about, her question was about, she'd been reading material that said about crystalline DNA, and is it possible to activate the current DNA to a crystalline level? And I don't know if you want to continue talking about that or...
And I remember, dear friend, that I had said, that depends on what you think that is.
Yes.
There are many different human terminologies, rife, in fact, with new terms for something that either is a very long-standing situation that has another term for it, or something that doesn't actually exist. So it depends entirely upon what it is that you are observing in observance of when you are looking at the crystalline energy of something. Mm. What is it that you are saying that you are looking at? That is my first point, I suppose. I know that Roseanne cannot answer this directly.
Not unless she phones in.
Yes, quite so. Unless you do phone in. The point is that the crystalline of anything, you are looking at the purity. That's the first thing to say.
Mm.
So if you are wanting to alter the purity, or wanting to alter the vibration index of something, when you are in a physical matter voyage, you have physical matter to play with. And sometimes human beings make the escapement that when you have something of a deep spiritual nature, you can fundamentally change things simply by thinking about them, or simply by laying your hands upon them. Now, part of this, of course, is true if it is to do with certain in concert forms of healing. That does not mean to say that it's a crystalline prophecy nor is it a situation which is generated because of some other form of ulterior motive of the spirit world. Usually, when you are looking at healing of something, it is purely to do with the spirit world and spirit energy. The human physical vehicle is merely the vehicle for it. So, in other words, a conveyor of that energy. Perhaps even a tool to be used by the spirit world as a way of guiding that energy to a certain place. The spirit world do not necessarily always, are not necessarily always able to place energy in exactly the right place that it's supposed to go to. I understand that perhaps from the prospect of certain people who bring about healing, that they feel that the healing goes through them because of how pure they are. And in point, that is partly right. When you are looking then at changing or validating energy of yourself, particularly to do with such a fine particulate as DNA, why it is that human beings think this is a form of aggravation that has come about. Why would you need to change DNA if it's actually a part of your physical structure? Why do you think that that is something which needs changing is, of course, relevant? Because perhaps you want to change your DNA because of maybe you are suffering from some sort of genetic disorder.
Mm.
It may well be that the DNA that you are wanting to change or alter is actually to do with some spiritual evolution. If that be the case, what is your proof that you haven't done it already, but through meditation?
Hmm. Right, okay. So part B of this question is also that she was reading or listening to information about the fact that we currently only use 2 strands of DNA, leaving the other 10 inactive. Why is this so?
That is, again, a so-se. Mm. It's not necessarily a proof positive.
Mm. This is why she was sending the questions, because she didn't know if it was truth or not.
Yes, quite so. And it is a matter for some schools of thought that that is what they advocate, mm. dear friend. For others, if you look at the situation of pure science, they will not have one jot of it. And I understand that there is a difficulty here for some people in one form of science to be able to prove or disprove their DNA strand theory as being active or inactive, and the ability to make that strand theory active with the help of some form of crystalline healing or some other form, perhaps, and I have to say crystalline healing may well involve a crystal wand or something like that.
Mm, yes, you
mentioned
that.
But that, again, begats some other information of what do you think it is that's actually passing through the wand? Is mm. there anything passing through it? Have you actually seen anything passing through the wand other than what is possibly, potentially, the fictitious state of your own mind? What you have to do is understand, as a practitioner, the difficulty that human beings, ordinary human beings, have with such situations, as serious as they are, purely and simply because oftentimes what will happen is a grand alienation of people who believe such things exist, and then carry on moving away from not just the mainstream of society, but much of it.
Mm. But and sometimes it can be dangerous in the way that, you know, if it is to do with illness or anything like that, that they don't actually seek or source
medical practice.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. So it's really vital not forgetting that all systems of genetic practice, all systems of being able to bring healing to someone in the physical side of life, needs to be also referred to, if they have an actual specific genetic problem or malformation or some other such disease of which they are suffering from, that they must seek some form of physical medical help by standard practitioners, just for you to safeguard yourself above all other things. Otherwise, it may be extremely dangerous for you, and we would not want any other practitioners of any of the sacred arts or any of the things we have been discussing. I'm not saying that all of this is rubbish or anything like that. What I'm saying is you must use your judgment as to what it is that you are looking at. What is it that you are seeing? Don't just believe it because it's written down. A lot of rubbish is written down.
Here's another one.
Yes.
Actually, from the same source. Can you communicate biologically through the blood and its pranic energy? This is the spirit world of people, okay? And through the amplification of the pineal gland, which hears and sees spirit. What do you make of that?
Well, communicate with the spirit world through blood.
Yes.
To begin with. This would then advocate that if you were blind, you would theoretically be able to communicate with the spirit world and have answers back. Now, would that mean that they would not answer back visually? Because a non-seeing person does not see anything. They do not dream anything, do not have insights, do not have images or any form of imagery that comes from the spirit world. So that in itself brings to mind that people who have no sight at all and never have had sight will oftentimes actually feel that the situations of the spirit world don't actually apply to them. Because they have no receptor to bring images to. That actually denotes that images originate where? Where do they originate?
Well, this is it.
If it is that the spirit world cannot bring images to a person who is blind, because, partly because, even if a blind person goes and dreams, they don't dream anything in image. They dream things in sound, in conscious states of different degrees of sound energy. So, in a sense, my dear friend, I'm once again playing a bit of a devil's advocate, because I am, in a sense, turning this question on its head and saying, well, all right, if you are suggesting that you are able to, or part of the situation pathway is communicating via your blood to the spirit world, that means that, well, what about your consciousness? Your consciousness, of course, is throughout your whole cell activity. And so I would suppose that blood is included in that.
Yes, and it says, and through the amplification of the pineal gland, which hears and sees spirit. So, what does the pineal, where does the pineal gland come into it then, from your perspective, communicating with the spirit world?
Well, that really does, once again, that really does depend entirely upon which indoctrination you are coming from, and which aspect of this whole branch of understanding is based upon. What I'm saying is then, continuing on with the person who is blind and has been blind from birth, that they continue not to see. So that means to say then that there must be some advent of the pineal gland, as this person would infer, that this pineal gland would actually, in fact, with the absence of physical eyes or physical sight, not be able to connect with certain aspects of the pineal gland, purely and simply because the imagery doesn't exist. And for some reason, there are, does this also mean then that the connectivity between the pineal gland and the corneas, because we're not necessarily saying that blindness is due to lack of cornea exchange. It may well be that there's a synapse problem or a problem issue between the actual some other part of the eye, perhaps to do with where the image rests upon the back of the retina or something like that, that actually what's happening is the signal never leaves the eye in the first place. My point then is that some of this can, if you are relying wholly upon the pineal gland in order that you are saying that this is the soul of communication or the advent of communication, it is in fact like saying if your connectivity with your actual physical brain to the part which is the pineal gland and also to your eyes and ears, if all those things are not intact, it is quite possible then that there are issues between either of those senses functions with the pineal gland that are somehow also interrupted and in disarray. Would that mean then that the spirit world simply wouldn't be able to communicate with you via the pineal gland? That if so, would they be able to communicate with some other part of you? Well, yes, of course, because the spirit world are able, of course, to manifest, bring themselves into physical reality at times, not necessarily a whole body or full body materialization, but certainly bring about exchanges of energy within a physical vehicle, and also, of course, to let a person in the physical world know and understand that a spirit presence is near, usually with changes in temperature, with such things as vibration, different climate, a change in wind or something like that. That may be, that is used as a way of making conscious effort upon the actual largest of sensory organs of the physical body, the skin. So I am suggesting here that for human beings to limit themselves to one little area is actually a bit silly.
Mm.
Because in actual fact, the whole of your physical body is a possible transmit for energy to the spirit world and receiver of energy from the spirit world. So there are many ways in which human physical people can become healed or enjoy healing from the spirit world via various different means. It does not mean whatsoever that you need to have even any or certain specific organs intact in order to for you to have experience of spirit world exchange.
Mm. Okay, well, I guess that the certain internal organs will certainly come into play in physical mediumship.
Yes, absolutely. So, of course, pancreas, various other parts, bladder, gallbladder, that kind of thing, various other situations, particularly around the stomach. It's an extremely sensitive area.
Mm.
As well as, of course, ears and that kind of thing.
Mm. Yes, but, okay, so, but I do believe that this question is because the information, the other information that we were talking about is has come through somebody in, shall we say, an inspirational speaking way, I think.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
I do understand that, and I'm not here to rubbish or cast judgment.
No, and we haven't said who it is anyway.
No, but I'm merely suggesting here that when you ask about such things or even think about such things, you must remain to have a logical understanding of what it is that you're talking about, and also not just its background, but also a logical understanding from a physical point of view. For us, on our side of life, of course, yes, we are talking about it in part from the spirit world. However, there are many, many situations, journeys, many situations of practice which are adhered to in the physical side of life, but not actually practiced in the spirit world because they don't exist here.
Hmm. Yes. Okay. So, going back to the pineal gland, what benefit would that have at all on any particular person? I mean, obviously, not everybody would be the same. How would that be utilized by the spirit world for connection with you?
Well, as an amplification But my point here is that there are other aspects to amplification to do with mediumistic learning, to do with connectivity with your spirit team, or to do with connectivity with others in the spirit world, and how that manages to manifest itself. After all, there are many people who, within their connection with the spirit world, will actually, even just walking past an electric kettle, will either burn it out or turn it off or on at will, without them touching it.
Can you explain how that happens?
That actually happens through kinetic energy, as well as their spirit energy, which sometimes it is created by their spirit team themselves in order to try to get them moving. But that is not very often. It is usually because some people who do not use their energy or are not significantly in development of their energy, perhaps they refuse to for some reason or other. Sometimes these are activities which the spirit world use in order to try to not entrap that person, but to, in a sense, chivvy them along a little. So that hopefully they would take the hint and go and see about becoming developed in some way. As obviously, in a sense, depicted in the little piece of film Sixth Sense, I understand.
Yeah.
Which we rather enjoyed.
Did you?
Yes, absolutely so.
There
were many facets of it which were very helpful and quite accurate, because in actual fact many of the situations of the spirit world are not necessarily wholly present.
No.
But that it needs adjustment for the on the part of the person who is the medium. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And, you know, if anybody wants to ask any more questions to do with that or anything else you'd like to join us, then the number is free phone in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international caller, it's not toll-free for the international caller, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. Okay, I have a question here from Sarah.
Yes.
She says, I was led to believe that when we come to the spirit world, we are met by our loved ones and those we feel comfortable with before joining up with our soul group members to discuss our life on earth and lessons learned or not learned.
Yes, quite so.
She says, we then are left in a holding bay, sort of?
Not necessarily.
Okay. No. There's a few parts to this question, so you can answer that one first.
Yes, very well.
A, B,
so,
C.
So, yes, the holding bay situation, that really depends on so many things. For some people, they just twitter on and move on to perhaps friends, relatives, family members and that kind of thing, and will actually spend much of their time there, even though at times their energy will be relocated elsewhere, usually within the halls of learning, to more deeply reflect certain aspects of their Akashic record and that kind of thing. Particularly as well, that may well be the case if they have certain issues that they have to overcome. Help will be provided through mentors and other exchanges of help and energy from others in the spirit world. Not necessarily known to that person, but sometimes will actually just remain unseen from that person. This is not set to scare them or anything like that. It is just sometimes, it is not necessarily practical that all beings would be able to see one another. There are good reasons for this. Usually it is because of the fact that people who come from the spirit world, when they first arrive, their energy may be in many respects out of control. And this will mean then that their energy will actually have a great difficulty in performing tasks. For example, many beings in the spirit world have to actually have help and be shown how to access ancient core memories of their own life experience, or maybe have access to certain ways that they just have to get about in the spirit world. After all, if you come to the spirit world and you are unaware of how to get about, what are you going to do? Oh, well, I would really like to go and see somebody. And as soon as the thought goes out and they are receptive to your thought, you are there, seeing them. The point is that thought remains a living thing in the spirit world, so that all those in the spirit world who have recently passed have to have some kind of understanding given to them about how to use their thoughts, that they really are active. So, for example, you'll have people suddenly flying off at a tangent or just disappearing altogether.
Just be careful what you wish for.
Mid-sentence. Yes, absolutely so. Because thoughts are living things, and it means that suddenly you'll find yourself whisked off to another situation, time period, or whatever.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. So these are a bit of a wake-up in many respects to many who pass to our side of life. Obviously, naturally, if there is a situation to do with healing. Now,
can I just stay on this other
one? Oh, well, second? Very well. Yes, of course.
Can I just ask you another question? I mean, I was just thinking of children when they first get there.
Yes, if that's
the case, you know, that, I mean, that's great fun. They could be doing all sorts of things, then,
couldn't
they?
And oftentimes they do.
Is that something that you encourage children maybe that have passed, you know, traumatically or whatever?
Yes, we try to
encourage them to experiment.
Yes,
in doing that sort of.
Yes, we do try to. Part of it, however, it is very difficult because it really does depend upon why it is they passed, what the situation or circumstances were involved within that passing. It may be that these are situations subject to healing, as I said, or perhaps subject to other situations that they have to go over or recount in some way. I know that might be quite difficult for a person, for example, who hasn't learnt any speech yet. What about that child? Or some such situation. Just because the child hasn't learnt speech doesn't mean that spirit cannot communicate. That is the first thing to understand about that scenario. And if there are situations or questions to do with certain kinds of energy to do with their passing, it is not necessarily, of course, that they would be confronted by specific situations or by specific deeds. Remembering, of course, that a child, shall we say, who passes perhaps due to an uncle or something like that's activity toward them, that they are not going to be meeting with them.
No.
So part of the situation is also to do with the recovery over fearful situations that may have happened to them. And it could be that the being held in stasis, as it were, isolated sometimes, that can happen too, may occur simply for that being's own safety and judgment. That's nothing to do with their spirit. Their spirit, remember, is still pure, as is everyone's. But their consciousness has to overcome certain details, perhaps to do with some sort of situation that occurred to do with their passing, particularly, of course, for those who passed with some incurable dis-ease or something like that.
Well, even more so then, that would be something that they would actually it would take them out of themselves, as it were, you know, to actually practice getting around in the spirit world.
Oh yes, quite so, absolutely. Even just a mundane thing like sitting on a swing. How would you sit on a swing in the spirit world if there is no physical form?
Go on.
Well, sometimes it might be said that the swing is the sky, and that actually the person, the being, is perfectly still, but the motion is returned within the thought and action. Don't forget that, dear friends, that it is thoughts that are living things, and the conscious memory that provides the activity. What then if you were a child who had never ever had a journey on a swing? Would you remember what it was like going down a helter-skelter if you had never been so or done that activity? What about if in either perhaps some of the more understandable situations, a person skiing then, or I understand skateboarding. Now, one time we actually helped a person who had passed to remember certain issues of their life because they really loved to snowboard. And we taught them how to snowboard, even though they were a spirit, they could snowboard down an electricity line on the physical plane. That doesn't mean to say that that person was a stuck spirit or anything to do with that, but it actually meant that there was a physical objectivity that they remembered as their conscious state, and that that was able then to be linked to some activity that they could remember and take part in because it created such joy for them in their lives that it meant that being able to do that relived that joy and therefore created healing pathways for that child to initiate a longer lasting understanding and awareness of their spirit.
Yes, I remember that, and I'm still quite confused about how that worked actually, how somebody in the physical, I can imagine, well I can't, but I can try to imagine how somebody in the the non-physical, in the spirit world, would learn how to skateboard down something in the spirit world, but learning how to do it...
But it may not have been created.
Okay.
That's the point. We don't need to have electricity pylons.
No, I know.
So that even those people who had used that as a job of work in their physical life would mean then that they don't have anything to work on if there are no electricity pylons in the spirit world. Unlike others who actually work in wood or something like that, or even stone, that they're able to continue to garnish that form of therapy, if you like, as well as actual physical activity. Just because a person is no longer in the physical world doesn't mean to say they cannot drink, if that is what they want to do. And the effects of that will be completely to do with their consciousness memory of it.
Does that mean to say if it's alcohol that they would actually feel tipsy as well?
Well,
because of the remembrance of it.
Potentially, yes, if that was their remembrance.
That's strange, isn't it?
Yes. But there again, they may well recover from that. It's exactly the same as a person who perhaps was used to take part in some other activity, maybe to do with certain other physical substances which used to make them that way inclined as well. And that simply what happens is that they go through the whole process of memory, of consciousness exchange. And memory, don't forget, friends, thoughts are living things. So it means to say that with that kind of memory, that you are actually able to blend certain situations. It takes a lot of energy to do it.
But that surely that wouldn't be encouraged if it was something that was actually a detrimental situation on the earth plane. That would not be encouraged that they carried on doing that in the spirit world.
But that depends, doesn't
it?
Is it detrimental to the person who carried it out at the time? Are they aware that it was detrimental?
Well, exactly.
Is it that actually they're trying to find some other kind of doorway? Perhaps it may well be that the event is continued for a short time in order to help them to explore and find the specific doorway that they were looking for. Usually it's about a doorway to themselves.
Yes, discovering their spirit and their their whole meaning on pathway of life. And
yes, quite so. But that said, the same thing could quite easily apply to food then. Does that mean to say that you're not going to have fish and chips when you get to the spirit world? Does it mean to say that you will never ever eat a macaroni or perhaps have breakfast or something like that? Well, usually you won't. But if it is that your conscious physical memory wants to reenact such a thing, then you'll do it. But it will be in the spirit world, and it will not be actual. Yes, so you'll be sitting there eating whatever meal it is that is so wonderful to your taste and wonderful to your memory. The memory association that you call up through that gifting from the spirit world then creates other pathways of choice and change and ability to protect one's own inner thoughts and guidance, but also to project those thoughts and guidance to others.
Mm.
So it doesn't mean to say it's a detrimental thing.
Mm. Very often, although going back to the substances, very often people get involved in substances because they can't see a way out of certain situations in their life, and that it is a form of escapism, just say.
I understand.
So, presumably in the spirit world, then they will be shown how to think beyond that, because now there is no barriers.
That is true, but it will happen over a period of time.
Mm.
I know that time is relative only to the physical people on physical Earth. But that form of linear time field is still relevant to cell memory, because your cell memory garlands one thing upon another, because you lived in linear physical time. That means your cell memory is governed by linear time field, which means then that the way that you think and explore things are still governed by the linear time field. Your memories of your favourite dinner or place that you go and visit, perhaps a restaurant, perhaps it is a bar, perhaps it is some dance place that you like to frequent, perhaps it is some other club or other, maybe a place that shows films. Other kinds of situations, recreational, that you take part in, are also a part of your physical conscious memory and part of your spirit memory. So that means that these are situations you may experience and experiment with. Obviously, part of the thing that you have to experiment with, first of all, is understanding control and understanding how you can do something and then stop doing it. Otherwise, oftentimes, people actually get stuck in that. Do you remember, dear friend, there was the brother of a gentleman who passed not long ago, who for nearly 50 years met and made matchstick men. And that's all that he did for nearly 50 years until his brother and his time had come to pass. That wasn't to say that his time that come to pass was written or ordained or anything like that. He actually passed through physical illness, and his physical body just gave up and stopped.
So presumably he's not making matchstick men anymore.
Doesn't make them anymore because his brother's there.
Yes.
And they're both together.
Mm.
At long last. And he with his wife and his brother and the rest of their family.
Mm.
Together again, mother, father, uncles, aunts, many others from their family.
Okay. The second part of that question actually was about healing.
Yes, very well.
So basically she says that, you know, when we come to the spirit world, the healing situation that we may need on our return, can you tell us a little about that? She would like to know something else about that.
Well, naturally, of course, that is going to be subjective. The dependence upon healing oftentimes comes from the escapement of consciousness to do with the physical journey. And how that comes about, you would say then, well, my father passed with Alzheimer's, so therefore he needs healing in order to bring him back to rights again in the spirit world. It isn't necessarily going to be that way. Oftentimes it may be that there is no such help that is needed by the spirit world, that simply for the matter of them passing is a great and beautiful release. After all, with such a disease as that, oftentimes it will be that subject will be returning to the spirit world frequently, so it won't be any surprise to them to finally let go. Other aspects then to do with this, to do with healing, are really tied to the matter of need, want and desire of understanding of that being. Don't forget that we're talking here about a spirit being. Yes, collection of consciousness, yes, from the physical journey, but it's still spirit. So therefore, for many, the actual aspect of healing is not possibly necessary, though it may well be that if their passing was tragic or traumatic, then there will be situations which will need help. They will need help with, usually through mentoring and other such situations. These may be interactivities between themselves and their loving family group, or maybe not. Maybe to do with their soul group. Maybe it's a soul group energy situation that needs clarity.
Does it look like a sort of a healing room type of situation, or hospital, or what does it look like? What does the surrounding look like?
There may not be a surrounding.
So it doesn't help, because normally, you know, our environment helps us to make, helps us to feel comfortable.
That's
so
true.
Is that not manufactured for people who have just come to the spirit world and who need healing and who are scared?
It may well be manufactured for them within their consciousness. That may well be their experience. Oh yes, I was in a beautiful room and it had this elephant in it, or whatever, pink elephant usually, or something else like that.
Pink.
Well, yes, I'm saying that it will be usually a favourite thing.
Oh, okay.
You see?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm just using a
children's toy.
It is one of my expressions.
Okay.
Oh, I brought a pink elephant into the room. Purely, you brought something of your consciousness memory.
I see.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah, I thought you literally.
No.
Well, knowing...
I had a little ism there.
You did. Absolutely, yes.
So, sometimes, obviously, if a person and their favourite thing was something else, perhaps a dog, a spaniel or something, or a cat, then that would be what they drag in the room with them.
Right. Okay.
It's not necessary to say that just because of being suffered so in the physical life, that they would need then great amounts of healing in the spirit world to help them overcome it. Yes, they may do, but the healing is in actually trying to show and recognize, help that individual do that, to show them and recognize that they actually are all right now, that there is nothing wrong with them. But the point is that for some, their mechanical mind or linear time field remembrances are that they actually dominate their consciousness. So therefore, they become frit and scared.
But basically, they have helped to decide what direction to go next, maybe, and that sort of thing. Options open.
Yes, quite so. Take, for example, then all of the people who passed in the Twin Towers and those associated events. Those beings were held in a loving energy, and they were held for several days in that loving energy, so that not only for the connection to the physical world, because some obviously with incredibly grieving parents and family members on your side of life, there was a great deal of love flowing to and from both the physical world and the spirit world. There was also a lot of anger too. And that those situations had to be, both of those different energies had to be tempered and had to be held in different places depending upon what their energy was.
And the spirit healers and in the spirit world had to do that? Or... I mean,
well, it's not just spirit healers. Don't forget all beings are healers.
Okay, who does that? How do you separate energy like that? How do you say, well, we'll accept the loving energy, but we won't accept the negative energy?
That is very difficult. And partly, it's, in a sense, negative energy generally tends to join with other negative energy. So it, in a sense, waits for the beats of energy as they revolve and move around the planet, and then simply couple up with that. It's a bit like a moving cloud, I suppose, which sweeps over a valley, and that what it does is collects other moisture.
Do you know what? I think we had one of those near us today, because it was, I can't explain it, but there was one thing after the other this morning when I went out, and I said, okay, I'm going to be getting back as soon as I can, because it just felt like that. That's interesting you say that.
Yes.
I mean, I know that that is the situation when it goes around the planet, but to be actually specific to environments and, you know, actual houses and roads and...
Yes, quite so.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely so, but that's part of it. It's how it displays itself. Sometimes these environments are corralled in a sense, that they are drawn and driven by the ley line activity under the planet's surface.
Right.
And that actually guides negative or positive energy. Don't forget that ley lines are not necessarily always positive. They can harbour negative energies at times, particularly if there is a void that's been left and a change of use has been created. From water, for example, to atmosphere or non-atmosphere, just to space.
Okay, well, thank you for those questions, Sarah, and it's, I don't think there's a lot of point in me going on to the next one, really, because we did this last week, didn't we?
Yes, quite so.
So
I hope that you understand that, dear friend, when you are referring to beings in the spirit world, particularly with these traumatic circumstances, the trauma is memory, is consciousness memory, and that is what is taken to the spirit realm and then forms the coat upon that spirit. So it's always going to be the conscious memory that you create, that you recreate, and that includes then, of course, aspects, certain aspects of your physical body, if that's what you want the memory to be of. Naturally, if it was diseased, it won't be the continuation of that disease, because that cannot be replicated. Not in as much as it would be if it were to be to do with good cells.
Yes, but one has to be presumably trained how you don't have to be that person anymore and live with that pain and fear and everything.
Yes, quite so.
But that is that, but there are people there to help you.
That's really where the mentoring comes in.
Yes, mentoring, that's the word.
Quite
yes. And you've also said, we've only got a couple of minutes here, you've also said about parties before now, about for when you certain people get to the spirit world, that there's a party waiting for them. Now, I think that's lovely.
Yes, absolutely so. It's like a welcome home party. Yes.
And is it made sort of like with balloons and cake and that lemonade and whatever?
Well, that depends, doesn't it?
Yes.
On what that person enjoyed in their physical conscious life. So there will maybe dancing, if that is what, for example, that is what was the focus of their life. Like Miss Griffin, for example, who... the cherished of her life was dancing, and she loved to dance, particularly with her husband, who was so good-looking and dashing. And in actual fact, when she returned to the spirit world, that's exactly what she got.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
And she had a grand waltz around, and many other things as well.
No, okay, well, we have to finish.
She even practiced the Charleston. Do you know that?
Is that something that we should actually put a thought out to say then to our spirit friends and guides, that the sort of thing, welcoming that we want when we actually pass from the spirit world,
so
that they can organise it for us?
Yes, absolutely so.
That's lovely.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, then.
Thank you. And, yes, thank you for your questions, Sarah and Roseanne. And we'll carry on with that next week. We hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. And thank you so much for listening. I'm Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.